So we're beginning a new sefer, the last book of the Torah, Sefer Dvarim. So what I wanted to maybe do is, instead of looking at the details of the parsha, to try and maybe do a general introduction to Sefer Dvarim. Because in several ways, Sefer Dvarim is unique and different than the other books, of the Torah. So the Ramban, in his explanation of the Chumash, each sefer, he offers an introduction to try and shed light onto what that sefer is about. So the Ramban begins, it's not in the Chumash here, but just to quote a little bit of it, a sefer hazeh inyan yadua, it's well known, shehu Mishnah Torah, that what this book of the Torah is really about is Mishnah Torah, which means a review of the Torah. Yivar ba Moshe Rabbeinu l'dor ha-nechnas baretz rov mitzvot ha-Torah tzrichos li-Yisrael. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the leader of Bnei Yisrael, all this is taking place in close proximity to his death. This is the several weeks before all Sefer Dvarim is Moshe speaking, in a few weeks before he's going to die. And he's explaining now to the new generation, we spoke about this a little bit last week, that now we're talking to the generation that's going into the land. This wasn't the same generation that traveled in the Midbar. They had died out because of the chet of the Meraglim, the sin of the spies. They were not going to be privileged to go into Eretz Yisrael. But this generation is going to be privileged. And that's why much of Sefer Dvarim is in fact a review of many mitzvos that we know already. And that's really what this sefer is about. And then he says also that it's Midina Tochacha, it's Moshe Rabbeinu giving Musar, he's rebuking the people for many of these sins that they did wrong, and hoping to teach them for the future the proper way to act.
Okay, you just said something, Joseph, that I'm paying attention. Many of the mitzvahs, the Sefer Dvarim does not cover everything?
Not every single mitzvah. Okay. And what we'll see is what's going to be important to note is, A, which ones Ramban, not going to get into the details. He does categorize which mitzvahs are included and try to explain which ones are not. Basically, the ones that they were going to need more as soon as they entered into Eretz Yisrael, those were the ones that he was telling them right now. Although the truth is that there are many new mitzvahs that are also introduced in Sefer Dvarim. So that's the Ramban's general introduction. So we'll work off the Ramban's introduction and try and have our own introduction in terms of understanding Sefer Dvarim. So again, Sefer Dvarim is known as Mishnah Torah. It's the review of the Torah. And it leaves us with a fundamental question in terms of trying to understand the nature of this fifth book of the Torah. And that is, was this Sefer given to Moshe Rabbeinu in the same type of nevuah that the rest of the Torah was given to him? Or no, Sefer Dvarim is in fact, the way it sounds like, it's Moshe Rabbeinu summarizing everything that we've learned until now. He's rebuking the people. And it's really Moshe Rabbeinu speaking on his own. That's a very, very fundamental question. Again, we've had four books of the Torah so far. We get to the fifth book of the Torah, where now the Ramban already told us it's different than the other one. And the question is how different is it? Is it really just different in style? But in terms of the actual prophecy, it's the same type of prophecy of God relaying the message to Moshe Rabbeinu? Or no, this is really Moshe Rabbeinu speaking on his own. So before everyone jumps on me and tries to ask where I got my smicha from, this isn't my question. The Abarbanel asked this question. The Abarbanel asked this question almost in the same words, just in Hebrew. But the Abarbanel asks this question. He really wants to know, what is the nature of this book? And this is what we're going to try to understand both, again, because the questions on either side of it are numerous. And we'll try to look at all the questions on each of the approaches and try to see what at least one approach that we can take towards the Sefer will be. So let's take it one side at a time. So what are the difficulties in explaining that it's like the rest of the Chumash? Why is there any reason to assume that this Sefer is different than anything that we've had until now? There are five books of the Torah. We've had four that's all the same. Why would we think that the fifth book of the Torah should be any different? So the first problem is, Why is the Torah repeating things? The Torah is very careful about the number of words it uses. Every word is very meduyak. Every word is very precise. So why suddenly now is the Torah reviewing all of these mitzvos? And in certain places there are additional details of mitzvos that are offered, so maybe that's the reason to review it. But then the question is, so why weren't they given initially? God, wasn't that He thought of it later and decided to, and only then decided to include it, so we had to write it at the end of the book because it wasn't there, you know, like a footnote or an appendix at the end of the book because the author left something out. God didn't leave anything out. So if He knew that there were additional mitzvos, then God should have just included those mitzvos somewhere earlier. The fact that this book is a chazara, is review, so God could have just said, review the other four books that I gave you. I just need to give a separate book of the Torah in order for us to review. So why would it be necessary to repeat it? What's the purpose of having a sefer that repeats?
Wasn't it unusual? The people were complaining to Moshe, and God was telling him what to say. It was coming from Hashem directly, and all of a sudden, Moshe decides to give his own. It was unusual. I would check it out real good.
Yeah, we're gonna check it out. We're gonna check out all sides. we're gonna make sure to do a thorough examination.
Right.
We're gonna make all sides.
Because they were complaining to Moshe all the time, criticizing.
Right. We're gonna try to look at each side alone, and we'll look at each side and the problems that each approach has, and then we'll try and bridge the gap and answer some of the questions. So again, assuming that it's like the rest of the Torah, and there's no difference between this, which is what we probably mostly assumed until we walked into this room and I began to rock everybody's perception. So that's one question, is why would it be necessary to have a book which is simply review? And even if the additional details, God knew them earlier, why weren't they offered earlier? And the second issue is that the language that's used in the Sefer is oftentimes different than the rest of the Torah. Usually in the first four books of the Torah, when Moshe is relaying a message or a mitzvah or whatever it is, it says, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe le'mor. God spoke to Moshe saying, and then he relates the message. And Moshe is really in the third person. But in Sefer Dvarim, we often find the Chumash writing about Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayomer Hashem Eli, God said to me, and then Moshe speaking. So why the change in terms of, it really sounds like, if you read the book simply, I mean the opening also, Eli Dvarim Asher Diber Moshe, I'll call Yisrael. The first part tells us, these are things that Moshe said. Okay, so maybe that isn't the end of the world. We could say that that's still a message from Hashem, but there are times that he says, Eli, to me. And if Moshe Rabbeinu is the author, why in this book is the message relayed in a different tone? Again, assuming that in terms of the Nebuah and the way it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the same as the first four books of the Torah, why the sudden change in tone? And then probably most problematic is the Gemara and Megillah. The Gemara and Megillah on Daf Lamed Aleph from Beis says that we know that there are two types, that the klolos, that the tochacha is recorded in the Torah, that the curses, if the Jews don't follow what God said, are recorded in Torah, once in Sefer Vayikra, once in Sefer Devarim. And the Gemara says that the klolos in Vayikra were from Hashem, and those in Devarim were from Moshe. It certainly sounds like the Gemara is assuming that Moshe did have a significant amount of input into the message being related into the content of Sefer Devarim. So those are the basic problems. Again, if we assume the way we all assumed until we came today, and that it was given the same way any other book was given, those are some of the problems that we need to understand. We can still understand them, but just in terms of trying to put a frame and a structure to the questions, that's some of the problems with assuming that it's like the rest of the Chumash. Now, let's say we would take the opposite approach, which would answer those questions, that in fact it was Moshe who was relaying this message, and it was not given directly from Hashem the same way the rest of the Torah was. So we have some big problems with that as well. One is, so how did it end up being a book of the Torah? So stop after four books of the Torah, And you could have a Sefer Moshe, the same way we have a Yehoshua and Shoftim and Shmuel. Make it one of the Nevi'im. Make it a different part of the Torah. What connection is there? What binds this fourth Sefer with the rest of the Torah? Four of the books were given by God. Okay, it was through Moshe's mouth, but he was really just relaying the message of God. So what relationship is there between this and the rest of the Torah? So that's certainly the most problematic and the most difficult, or one of the difficulties at least, with this approach. The other problem is that we said that mostly this book is a review of the mitzvot, but there are some new mitzvot which are recorded for the first time in Sefer Dvarim. Moshe Rabbeinu is making up mitzvot on his own? How can it be that there are new mitzvot that are given if Moshe is the one talking here? So it's very difficult to assume that Moshe was the one who's the author, and he's providing new mitzvot. Where did he get them from? And if he got them from God earlier, so why did he leave it out? He should have put it in the Torah. It should have been included somewhere. Did Moshe have to take something out? It's very difficult to say that. And the most fundamental problem is we know that the Rambam has 13 principles of faith, the Yud Gimel Yikarim. And one of them is, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that every single word of the Torah was given by God to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't change a thing. Anybody who says that Moshe Rabbeinu changed anything is considered to be a heretic. So how can we even entertain the possibility that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who authored the last book of the Torah? So again, we have problems according to either approach. They certainly seem to be, in terms of fundamental philosophical problems, it's much more difficult to assume that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this Sefer on his own. But on the other hand, there are, again, in terms of understanding the style and the differences between this Sefer and between the other ones, the approach of assuming that it's no different than the rest of the Chumash also is very difficult to understand. And there's one other problem, I forgot about this one. The Gemara Baba Basra. The Gemara Baba Basra tries to figure out how it is that the last eight psukim in the Torah were written. The last eight psukim in the Torah discuss the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. So was it written before Moshe Rabbeinu died? Did Moshe Rabbeinu write it himself? Did somebody else write it after Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Gemara discusses it. And in the end, the Gemara basically assumes that it was dictated by God to Moshe, and Moshe wrote it in bedema, Moshe wrote it in tears. Again, he's writing about his own death. But again, if clearly the Torah came from God, otherwise the solution doesn't work. Again, if the Gemara is telling us that God dictated it to Moshe Rabbeinu in order for him to be able to write it. If Moshe Rabbeinu is writing the whole thing, it also presents a problem, but the solution isn't that God dictated it to him and that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it down. So there also, it certainly seems to be that the Torah, that Sefer Devarim as well, came from Hashem and not directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. What's interesting, however, is in terms of the mainstream Farshim, most of them seem to assume that in fact it was Moshe who wrote Sefer Devarim. We'll take first the Ramban. The Ramban says that the Torah tells us in the first Sali over here, in one of the psukim, the Torah says, "Hoil Moshe," that Moshe Rabbeinu began. "V'tam Hoil Moshe sheratza levayer lohem et haTorah," that Moshe wanted to explain to them the Torah. "V'hizker kein," and why did he write it in such a way of Hoil Moshe? "Ki me'atzmo ra'a lasos kein," he saw on his own that he thought this was a good idea to write a review of the Torah. "V'lo tivo Hashem b'zeh," God didn't command him to write this. And then he brings a proof as to how the language means that, in terms of what the word means. But again, the language seems to be very clear in the Ramban. "Ki me'atzmo ra'a lasos kein," he saw on his own to do it. "V'lo tzivo Hashem b'zeh," God didn't command him to write it. So again, in terms of the problems with each approach, to us, the problems with Moshe Rabbeinu being the author seems, I think, to be more problematic. And yet, the Ramban takes the approach that in fact it was. This is different than the rest of the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu was in fact the one who wrote this last book of the Torah without having been commanded by God. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh also says that it was Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says that's why it says Eila HaDvarim. Oftentimes in the Torah uses Eila, it's coming to separate what's coming now from what existed before. It's Eila, these Dvarim were Asher Diver Moshe. So what separation is there? What difference is there between this Sefer and everything else? If it's all one continuation, so you don't need to say Eila HaDvarim. There's no reason to differentiate. Okay, it's a new book of the Torah, but it still continues. It's the same message. What are we trying to separate the Parsha of Dvarim or the Sefer of Dvarim from that which preceded it? Eila HaDvarim. So the Arachayim says it's reason that's coming Eila is to say that these things are different. Why are these things different? Because these things came from Moshe Rabbeinu. And these weren't the words directly from God. And it wasn't God's idea the same way the rest of the Torah was. Again, hard to swallow a little bit. We'll try to explain it a little bit more. But that's what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says. Again, his words are Lepi she'amar asher dibar Moshe Sheheim divrei atzmo. These were his own words. Shekol ha'sefer tokochotei Musar mi Moshe le'over pi Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu was giving Musar, he was giving rebuke to anybody who would violate the words of God.
This was at the end of the 40 years already.
Yes.
Maybe there's something there. It's already the end of...
Absolutely. It's right before
Israel.
Yeah, that's probably the...
Death.
That's exactly... So that's probably the reason he wanted to do it. 100%. 100%. I think one of the first Rashi's, I think, points out that that's the case. That he waited till the end of his life to give him this rebuke. But again, and Rabbeinu Bache also says the same idea, that in fact this is something which came from Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't have the exact line here, but that's what Rabbeinu Bache says as well. The question is, how do they answer the very serious questions that we pose to assuming this? Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rambam in Yud Gimel Ikar tells us every word of the Torah came from God. Anybody who says that a single letter or word in the Torah was changed by Moshe Rabbeinu is a heretic. There's no two ways about it. So how can it be that Moshe was writing something on his own? So the Kli Chemda in his Perush on Chumash, he offers the following explanation, and I think it's accepted by many, many other Mepharshim that follow. And that's as follows. Says that this book of the Torah is in fact different, and like the Rishonim say, and like the Ramban says, this was Moshe Rabbeinu speaking on his own. But he says what happened was is that Moshe Rabbeinu initiated. And the words here are the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the way that Ramban says it, decided on his own that this was a good idea, and he decided to rebuke the people, and he decided that a review of the mitzvot was appropriate. But says the Kli Chemda, in the end, God agreed. And he gave his stamp of approval to what Moshe Rabbeinu did. And almost to be able to teach us that in fact this was something which came with the initiative of Moshe Rabbeinu, he re-gave it over to Moshe Rabbeinu to make it part of the Torah using the same words that Moshe Rabbeinu himself used. So in fact, you can have your cake and eat it too. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who, he said these words, and he initiated it, and it was his idea. But in the end, had God not agreed that it should be given over in those same words, through the same type of prophecy which allows something to become part of the Torah, it wouldn't have been a new book of the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu on his own had no authority to change anything in terms of what's the canon, the you know, the entity of the Torah. But Hashem decided that, no, I agree, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, we'll say maybe God had this in mind from the beginning and he allowed Moshe to do it, however you want to explain that point, that's more of a minor detail. But ultimately, the reason that we can say that it became part of the Torah was because God gave it over again to Moshe Rabbeinu, but in order to show Moshe Rabbeinu and to give him the kavod or the acknowledgement that in fact it came from him, he gave it over in the same language that Moshe Rabbeinu initially offered it. And that explains a lot. Because again, most of the reasons that we wanted to, it helps us explain that on the one hand, we're not bothered by the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who is the author, again, because ultimately it was given from God to Moshe Rabbeinu, but it also explains the discrepancies. Why is this book different? Why is this book Chazara? Why is it review? Why wasn't it given initially this way? Moshe Rabbeinu saw fit that, no, having an official book of the Torah that would be a summary of a large portion of the Torah, he thought that was a good idea. And again, without God's agreeing, it wouldn't have happened, and it wouldn't have been. And that's also why the language is different, because it was Vayomer Hashem Eli. Moshe Rabbeinu was talking on his own. This is what God said to me. And Hashem preserved that language when giving over that nevuah again to Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of making it part of the Torah. Now there are Mefarshim who explain on the opposite side of the spectrum that in fact this book is no different than the other ones, and it was given by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu the same way everything else was. There's a Tosos in Megillah on Daf Lamed Beis that basically says that this Sefer is no different than anything else, and the Maharsha and some of the Talmidim of the Ramchal, they also suggest that it was all said directly by God. Now again, we're not so bothered by the questions anymore on the other approach, because the other approach that Moshe Rabbeinu was the author of Sefer Dvarim also acknowledges, the way we explained it, that yes, Moshe Rabbeinu initiated, but it was only after God agreed and gave it over to Moshe again using the same words that it became part of the corpus of Torah. But this approach doesn't seem to want to go that far, and does want to say that in fact God was the one who authored it, and it differs in no way than any other book of the Torah. Which again, on the surface is fine, but the problem is that how would this approach answer the questions that we asked? Why is the tone different? Why is Sefer Devarim given over in a way that reflects Moshe Rabbeinu speaking on his own? Why was this review necessary? All the details, which led the other Mefarshim to assume that it was not, that it was different, and that in fact it was authored by Moshe, so how is it this approach that assumes it's no different, in no way is this Sefer different than anything else we find in the Torah, how would this approach answer that question? So I saw Rav Moshe Shapiro Shlita quotes from a comment from the Gra that I think really opens up this topic and perhaps allows us to develop a little bit of a middle Shita and try and explain, bridge the gap and have a middle of the line approach to understanding this issue. The Gra says that the difference between the first four books of the Torah and between Sefer Dvarim was that until now, the words of the Torah were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it was, however exactly you understand this, but the way he says it, quoting from Chazal, is that it was the Shechina speaking, it was God speaking through the throat of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Sefer Devarim was not that way. Sefer Devarim was given as a prophecy to Moshe Rabbeinu, but it was more similar to the prophecy that other Nevi'im had. Again, not to come into a problem with another one of the Karma of the Rambam in terms of denying that the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu was different. No, Moshe Rabbeinu had that level of prophecy, but in terms of the way God appeared to him, not because he couldn't, the way God decided to appear to him, I don't have to understand why, but in terms of the way God decided to relate Sefer Devarim, God related Sefer Devarim in a way in which allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to express it as if it was coming from him, as opposed to simply being the quote-unquote voice of God coming out of the throat of Moshe Rabbeinu. So I have to explain it a little more. That's the opening. We'll have to try and appreciate what exactly, or inexactly, but how we can explain that.
Excuse me, would you mind saying that again?
Yeah. Again, we're trying to understand. We had, again, the basic, let's just make a quick summary. It's a little more confusing than usual, but I thought it was a very important topic.
No, I mean,
a quick summary. The basic question is, Sefer Dvarim is Mishnah Torah, it's a review of the Torah. Everybody agrees that basically it's a review of the Torah. Is this book fundamentally different than the previous four books? In that it wasn't God relaying his message the same way he normally does. Rather, it was Moshe Rabbeinu relaying the message, which again is the way the language sounds. Or no, we're never going to say anything like that. That's very radical. That's not for us. We're going to say that no, it was the same thing as the rest of the Torah. No differences. And we pointed out some problems according to each opinion. So according to the opinion that it was Moshe Rabbeinu talking on his own, so we tried to explain that yes, that Moshe initiated on his own, and the words reflect the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, but ultimately it was only because God said, Moshe, you had a good idea, you spoke well, I want these words to be part of the Torah. Then Hashem gave it over in the same form of Nevuah that the rest of the Torah is given in. He gave over that prophecy to Moshe Rabbeinu. Bang, we have a fifth book of the Torah. Why does it sound different? Because it was different. Because it started out as the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ultimately, it was the word of God, but it started out as the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now we're trying to explain the other side. Those who want to stay far away from saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was the author, and that, in fact, God gave the fifth book of the Torah the same way he gave the other four. So, again, on the surface that's fine, but the problem is, so why are there differences? Why is it that it sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu is the one talking here more than it sounds like in the rest of the Torah? That's the most basic question, because that's the one that makes you feel the most that this book is different than the other books. So that's what we're trying to answer now.
I keep thinking that this is the end of the journey. And also, they're going into Eretz Yisrael already. They're on the verge.
Right, so that's probably...
There must be some
100%.
Changes.
Right, that's probably why it's the time for review.
It's the end already.
100%.
It's the end. And so Moshe had a chance to express himself.
Because he
was punished enough already. Give him a break and let him say something.
Right, so they're letting Moshe talk, but again, if we want it to become part of the five books of the Torah,
it's a little different.
It is going to be different, and that's probably why right now he decided to talk. But again, in terms of the words, is the word of God or the words of Moshe? So again, it's very uncomfortable for us to be talking about it as being the words of Moshe. So again, I think we explained what that could mean. But again, if you want to assume the standard explanation that God was giving Moshe a Nevuah to give to them at this last moment as they're finishing the journey.
Right.
So the question is, but why is the tone different? Why should the tone be any different here than the rest of the Torah? So this isn't really a why, rather more like a what. But the Gra explains that the fact that there's a different tone reflects the fact that the type of Nevuah and the way God gave it over to Moshe was different here than the rest. Again, in terms of its origin, it's all starting from God and it's going through Nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Can I pick up from what Malka said, because then I'm hearing this, I'm trying, because the Dor HaMidbar is ready out.
Right.
And now he is dealing with a nine of kind of new young people who did not go through the heart. So his tone and his demeanor has to be different in addressing.
That's true. That's true, and that's probably, if we have time later, maybe we'll talk a little bit about the way he decides to rebuke them. I think that's very, very true. But in terms of him saying it as his words versus God's word, Vayomer Hashem Eli, God said to me, as opposed to Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor, God said to Moshe saying, which is the way it usually appears in the Torah, here it says that Hashem said to me. So why would that tone be different? That's more what we're focusing on.
Okay, so the question is this. Hashem spoke to me, and Hashem spoke, which is I'm have to use the word harsher, but okay. It's not real. It's not what I'm alluding to, because maybe the first set of Hashem spoke to Moshe had to influence a different type of a generation, as opposed to Hashem spoke to me.
So that's a possible answer, meaning you're right, that really this was God giving the words to Moshe in the same way. He decided to give it in a different tone in order to remove some of the harshness. Maybe. That would be a possible way of explaining. What the Gra suggests is that the way the Nebuah was given in the rest of the Torah, and the way it was given here was different. I mean, the rest of the Torah, for four books of the Torah, it was, again, what exactly this means is hard for us to understand, but it was the Shekhinah as if it was coming out of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was, let's say, more like a pipe. And the pipe was, and everything was just kind of going through the pipe without it stopping at any point in Moshe, but rather just being expressed directly out of the pipe from what appeared to be Moshe Rabbeinu. For whatever reason, again, we're not explaining the reason yet, God decided at the last, maybe for the reason that you're suggesting, I'll suggest something else soon, but...
Okay.
Yeah, well, there are many explanations that can be given. For whatever reason, God decided here that it was going to be given more similarly, or in a more similar way, to the way a Navi normally gets the Nevuah, where the Navi gets the Nevuah, and then repeats the Nevuah, but it has that stop in the pipe. There's like something blocks it for a second, then you remove it, and then it comes out. And that's why, in a certain sense, it was Moshe speaking, but it wasn't the words of Moshe. So we could say, Vayomer Hashem Eli, because he is relating, again, his own prophecy differently than the rest of the Torah. That's what this explanation was about. But again, the question is, we still need to understand, so why is this book different? And what is this meant to reflect about the nature of the Torah? And maybe some fundamental lessons about what Sefer Devarim and Sefer Devarim's relationship with the rest of the Torah. So we'll try again to zero in on a few questions that still exist. Again, the fact that new mitzvot appear in Sefer Devarim, if it's simply a review, why are these new mitzvot suddenly coming up? Why weren't these mitzvot given in one of the first four books of the Torah? In whichever approach you're taking, whether it was that it was Moshe Rabbeinu's words, so then, where did it come from? Or even if it was God's words, but God was clearly differentiating in the type of prophecy he gave Moshe, like the Gra said, so then why is it that these mitzvot were left out of the first four books of the Torah and they were given here? What's that meant to reflect?
Maybe that was
about
the Moshe. His finishing up his term.
Maybe a few bonus mitzvot.
A few mitzvot.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But then, and then the other question is that, which I think relates to the point that we've been making continuously, which is that this is a different generation. So how come the other generation didn't get these mitzvot? Hey, maybe we saved them for Moshe, but how come all those other people didn't get to hear those mitzvot also? If they're only being given now, and everybody else is dead. The Dor HaMidbar died out. This is the generation that's going into the land. So why did we hold those mitzvahs back from them?
These were his last words.
Right.
Put it that way. His last gift.
Right. And then the final question is, if we assume that Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, was the one that wrote them, why... Again, if this was originally intended to be part of the Torah, so why did God wait for Moshe Rabbeinu's initiation? Again, we said that, okay, in a certain sense, obviously God knew he wanted to include it in the Torah, but if you assume that it was Moshe's words, and those words were then agreed upon by Hashem, and then he gave them again through Moshe Rabbeinu, why did he do it that way? If he knew he wanted this to be, if he wanted this ultimately to be part of the Torah, why did he allow for Moshe Rabbeinu's initiation? The Avni Nezer explains something very interesting based on the Zohar. The Zohar said, again, of the two approaches, one approach that we suggested was that Moshe Rabbeinu initiated. In a certain sense, again, not in a literal sense, but it sounds as if God was ready to finish the Torah after four books. Moshe Rabbeinu decided, I think we should have a little bit of Chazara time and we should review and I should rebuke them a little bit. And then in the end God said, oh, good idea. And then God, in order to show respect to Moshe Rabbeinu that he was the one who initiated, he gave it over to Moshe again using the same words, and that's why it appears to be Moshe speaking. But in terms of the Nevuah, it's still part of the Torah. So the question is, why did God do that? Again, it's hard to imagine, it's hard to assume that it really happened like I just said it. It's hard to assume that really God didn't originally intend for it to be part of the Torah, and that Moshe gave him this good idea. Right. So again, the fact that it was Moshe's initiation, we can accept that. But why did God want it to be done in that way? Because it's difficult to assume that he didn't ultimately want it that way. So let's assume he wanted it to be five books. But for whatever reason, he wanted it to come with the initiation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Well, what's that supposed to reflect? What's that supposed to teach us? So the Avnei Nezer explains, there's a pasuk that there's a Zohar that asks, where in the written Torah do we have a hint that there's a such thing as the oral Torah? We know there's a Torah Shebachtav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. There's the written Torah, there's the oral Torah, we have the Mishnah, we have the Gemara, and so much Halacha Moshe Sinai. We have so much of an oral tradition. Where is there any hint in the Torah? How do we know then from the Torah that there's anything more than simply the written Torah? And the Zohar says, because it says in our parsha, Vayhi Barboim Shana, was in the 40th year, Hovil Moshe Be'er Satorah Zos, Moshe Rabbeinu began to explain the Torah.
Where does it say that?
That pasuk?
Yeah.
It's in the opening of our parsha.
Okay, alright.
Which pasuk it is?
Alright.
But it's right in the opening. It's right in the opening over here.
Devarim.
Right in the opening of our parsha, it says that.
Pasuk.
Pasuk. Pasuk. Pasuk. Pasuk. Pasuk. Pasuk. Moshe Be'eres HaTorah Zos Le'mor. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I think it says it again in a slightly different way. I think it says Vahi Barba. It could be the Zohar putting them together, but there you see it says Hawil Moshe Be'eres HaTorah Zos. Moshe Rabbeinu started explaining the Torah. What Avnei Nezer explains and what the Zohar seems to be getting at is that what Sefer Devarim serves as is the template and the basis for Torah Shebaal Peh. It serves the basis for the oral Torah, and that's why there's such a focus on Moshe Rabbeinu being the one speaking in Sefer Devarim. Not because God didn't initially intend for it to be given as part of the Torah, but because God wanted to teach us and to reflect to us that there is interpretation within the Torah. And that's part of the Torah too. It's the Torah Shebaal Peh. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make up the oral Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was given that oral Torah at Har Sinai, at the same time as given Torah Shebachtav. Sefer Devarim serves as this bridge between the Torah Shebachtav, between the four books that we've had until now of what we call the regular written Torah, and between our Mishnayos and Gemara and everything else that's going to come later. This book serves as the record that there's a such thing as the oral Torah. So it is written down, and it is part of Torah Shebachtav, but it's the part of Torah Shebachtav that teaches us that there's a such thing as Torah Shebaal Peh. And that, I think, answers all the questions. Because that explains why the tone is different, and that also explains why there were certain mitzvos. Why weren't these mitzvos given to the other generation? Why are these mitzvos waiting to be given now? And I think the answer is that the mitzvos were given then, and that generation knew about it. How did they know about it? They knew about it orally. But Moshe Rabbeinu was coming to teach us in Sefer Devarim, and what this was reflecting was that now it's written down. And it's given over to this generation, and it becomes part of Torah Shebichtav. It becomes part of the written Torah because ultimately God wanted it to be. But it reflects the fact that there is this transition, that there is a concept of Torah Shebaal Peh, and that there's so much more to the Torah than what's even in these five books of the Torah. And there's so much more that was given at Har Sinai simply than what's written here. That's why it was given to the next generation, because it's the Torah Shebaal Peh is something which only survives through the transmission from generation to generation. So Sefer Dvarim was specifically given, yes, at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. It was given to the next generation, because Torah Shevachah is this book that we can pass on from generation to generation. But Torah Shevachah requires giving it over. That's more of a Masoret. It's going through the effort of passing over the Torah Shebaal Peh. So that generation is the one which Hashem wanted to teach them. But don't forget that there's the Torah Shebaal Peh as well. Yes, again, doesn't mean that Sefer Dvarim is not part of Torah Shebaal, but it's this part of Torah Shebaal that in a certain sense came about Baal Peh. It came about through Moshe Rabbeinu. It came about differently. Again, whether it's that God wanted it to sound different and gave Moshe the words that way, or that Moshe initiated, whichever approach you want to take, the point is that this Sefer shows us that there's so much more to the Torah, and the depths of the Torah are so much greater. Some of the Hasidish form, I think, point out, that's why Toil Moshe Be'er at that Torah Zos. Be'er is the same as Be'er. It's a spring, it's a well. It goes deep down, and there's no way to ever reach the bottom. There's so much more that's written in the Torah. And with that, I think we have an approach which is a new appreciation, really, of what Sefer Dvarim is about. That Sefer Dvarim, again, is written in this different way, it's not to take away, it doesn't detract, it doesn't diminish from Torah, from Sefer Dvarim being part of the Torah Shebaal, but the point of Sefer Dvarim, again, besides the actual words that are given in it, which obviously are part of Torah Shebaal, but perhaps the point of it being given in such a way, what God was trying to teach us based on the Zohar, that Sefer Dvarim, Hoil Moshe Be'er Satura Zos, serves as the hint that there's a Torah Shebaal Peh. It's written this way to teach us and to remind us that there's so much more to the Torah, and that there are all of these mitzvot, and there is so much more, and that it was all given over. Yes, it started, these mitzvot existed for the generation in the Midbar also, the ones that applied. Why wasn't it written down in the Torah? To show the fact that these mitzvot existed orally from them, and now Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who's writing them down. That part's clear? I just wanted to end with one other part in terms of what the role of Sefer Dvarim is. There's one time in Sefer Yehoshua and one time in Sefer Shmuel Beis, and it could be additional times also, but at least one time in each, where the Navi refers to things that are written down in the Sefer Hayashar, the book of the straight. And it's very difficult to, we don't have any Sefer that's called Yashar, at least on the surface. It's hard to imagine this book was lost. So Chazal tells us, Rashi tells us, based on Chazal, Rashi tells us this in part of the Bolak, I think, that Yashar refers to the Avos who were Yesharim. And therefore, what's this Sefer HaYashar? What Sefer refers to these Yesharim, to the Avos, to the fathers? Bereshis. And Sefer Bereshis, I think the Ramban in his introduction to Sefer Bereshis writes, this is the Sefer HaYashar. Why is this the Sefer HaYashar? Because what do we learn from Sefer Bereshis? We don't learn very many mitzvahs, very few mitzvahs out of Sefer Bereshis, but we learn how to act, we learn how a Jew is supposed to be. We learn many of these lessons from the Avos, the stories of the Avos, the Chesed, the Tzila, the dedication. So much is learned out, the Amunah, so much is learned out from the first book of the Torah. What's interesting is that there's another view in Chazal as well. The Pasuk says later on in Sefer Dvarim, V'yasisa hayashar v'hatov, that a person should do whatever is good and straight. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, Mipnei ma nikra sefer Mishnah Torah sefer hayashar. Why is Mishnah Torah, why is Devarim referred to as sefer hayashar? Mishum dechsiv bei v'atisa hayashar v'atov v'hein Hashem. Because it includes in it the pasuk which teaches us to do v'atisa hayashar v'atov, that which is straight. Therefore the book is known as sefer hayashar. Seems very difficult to assume that because one, and there are many sukkim written in the Torah, that because one pasuk happens to say V'atisa Hayashar V'atov, that should become the name or the title of the entire Sefer. Seems more logical to assume that somehow that pasuk and the Yashar reflects really what Sefer Dvarim is about. And that in fact, we have at least two opinions in Chazal, maybe in fact they work together, maybe there are two books that can be referred to as Sefer Yashar, but we have Sefer Bereshis and or Sefer Dvarim being referred to as Sefer HaYashar. So the Ramban tells us on the Atisa Yashar V'Atov that this mitzvah is unique. Usually a mitzvah tells us to do something specific, but this mitzvah, he says, V'ze inyan gadol, this is a tremendous thing. It's impossible for the Torah to spell out exactly how you're supposed to act with other people. What's appropriate, what's inappropriate. What we would call midos, common sense, and derech eretz. It's very difficult. There's no way for the Torah to spell out every single example and for us to know what to do in every case. The Torah gives us a general guideline. What's the guideline? The Asisa Yashar V'Atov. You should do what's straight and what's good. What's a major component of being able to achieve Yashrus? So I think from what the other context, besides Sefer Dvarim being a book of review of mitzvot, and again having this idea of the oral Torah, much of Sefer Dvarim is the rebuke of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Moshe Rabbeinu giving Musar. If you look at the Rashi, already points out that some of the names, the places in the opening psukim are names that we don't have anywhere else. Moshe Rabbeinu is not giving us a summary, and he's talking about places that we never heard of. So Rashi explains that the names alluded to different sins that they did along the way. And Moshe Rabbeinu was being nice, and he didn't want to embarrass them too much. They take food on Shal Yisrael, I think Rashi says. The first Rashi, L'pishahin divrei tochachos, because we're talking about Moshe rebuke, Umana Khan, he includes here, Kol ha-makom ha-sheyachis lifnei ha-makom bohen, all the places they angered God. So he didn't elaborate on his words. He only hinted them if they fold on Shal Yisrael. Because of to show respect for Bnei Yisrael, not to embarrass them too much, he didn't elaborate on them. And that, I think, is one of the major components of achieving Yashrus. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos lists off the 48 things through which one acquires Torah, and one of them is ohev et tochachos, loving tochacha, musar. What does it mean? So Mefarshim point out that it means two things. It means that a person is happy when somebody else critiques them and he can improve, and it also means that a person is happy to critique other people, to point out when others make mistakes. Doesn't everyone like to point out when others make mistakes? It's such a great thing to point out when others make mistakes. But the Mefarshim explains that it depends why a person is pointing it out. If a person is pointing it out because they care about the other person and they want to help the other person grow, then it's a tremendous chesed that you're doing for the person. And as difficult as it is to criticize another person and to try and give a person feedback on what they're doing, if a person first of all has this connection to Hashem that he wants people to do the right thing and to his neighbor, so then he'll actually not be happy in a self-righteous way, but being happy in a way of I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing in terms of helping another person. How do you know which one it is? What's the litmus test to figure out what it is? I saw a very interesting idea. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, "Tzedek yolin ba ve'atam meratzchem." I'm not going to explain the literal explanation right now, but Alderach Hadrush saw the following explanation. So this pasuk is the formula to figure out if something that you want to do is a mitzvah or if it's an aveira. It's in Yeshaya Aleph Kaf Aleph, "Tzedek yolin ba." With an ayin meratzchem. I'll explain the pasuk the way we're going to explain it shortly. What's the formula? So he suggested, if you feel a burning need to do it right now, I absolutely have to do it right now. There's no way I can wait till tomorrow. I have to do this right now. So think twice. Because oftentimes that's a sign that it's an aveira and that the Yetzer Hara is trying to get you into thinking that it's a mitzvah before you have a chance to think about it too much. If you realize, okay, I really think I should do it, but I think it can wait till tomorrow, he says, then usually it's actually a mitzvah. And he says, maybe that's hinted to in the pasuk. Tzedek, if it's something which is appropriate, yolin ba, you can rest on it. You can sleep until tomorrow. If it's something which you're supposed to do, you can wait. V'ata with an ayin means now. And if you feel like you have to do it right now, meratzchem, it's murderous. It's something which is going, which is something which is going to get you.
Yeah, but they don't postpone doing a mitzvah.
So this is talking about cases where you need to use the test. Certainly, when you know you're doing a mitzvah, that and it's 100% clear, you go ahead and you do it right now. But if you have this, especially when it comes to interpersonal things, oftentimes it's not 100% clear. And when it's not 100% clear, it's just, this is a litmus test that you could, that you can...
You have to think before you speak.
You still have to think before you speak. But it's right. But sometimes you say, you can convince yourself, okay, I thought about it for a minute,
right.
and now I'm ready.
Sometimes it's too impulsive, and you don't really think.
Right. That's exactly what the point is here.
Yeah, right.
Right. The Yetzirah tries to get you in such a place. And the other lesson that we see from Moshe Rabbeinu, just to conclude, is a hinting to the places, is that even when we need to say something, there's a certain sensitivity to the other person that has to be there. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's their leader. He's been wandering for 40 years in the desert because of them, because of what they did, and now he's coming to rebuke them for it. And he doesn't hit them over the head. He does it nicely. He does it with Derech Eretz. He hints to them. And that's also, again, in preserving somebody else's honor when it's necessary to do, when it's necessary to give them muster, that's also a way of hopefully being able to achieve this Yashrus and being able to make the Sefer HaYashar a book that's relevant to each and every one of us.